There's a one line in there, I can't remember how it goes, I have to see the movie again, about how, oh, we'll never have a president like that, you know, lying and that kind of stuff. Everybody in the theater was guffawing.
Yeah.
Clearly it was not a Republican crowd. You're like,
did you forget where you live?
Yeah.
Is Mike not expected today?
He's here. I saw him earlier.
Thought he was going to be back. Okay.
I taught a bunch of people from Colorado Springs PD.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Not, I mean, clearly not in the 70s.
No, this is cutting it close even for carburetor time.
Oh, yeah, we've hit 9. Goodness, okay.
Oh, there he is, yeah.
Can you all check your microphones?
Tick, tick, bro.
Easy.
As fast, it'll still be 9.
I just got into some bad habits earlier. So being here way too
like going
late.
To Colorado?
No. Like being here much earlier than I needed to be. Someone's been...
Oh, yes.
...my stuff.
Yeah.
God.
Well, this is all...
That would be me. I had to sit there for a week.
Oh.
I'm gonna sit there for a year.
I know.
This is the world's time.
Well, it'll be my turn then.
Cry like a river. Good morning, everyone. This is the Johnson County Board of Supervisors work session for Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. First order of business is discuss the low bid and award a contract to the Office of the State Archaeologist of Iowa for archaeological services related to the Clear Creek Watershed Project under CDBG contract number 13 NDRI 007.
And John Rathman's here this morning to
Good morning,
discuss
John.
This.
Good morning.
All right, we can move forward on the slide.
But this is such a nice looking slide, we want to give everybody a chance to look at it.
Well, now you've got an in-person map you can look at too. So I think last time I was here we discussed this a little bit, that we needed to procure archaeological services because we've got several sites already that are going to require an on-site investigation. Those shouldn't be too intensive, but they still need to be done and reports need to be written. July 5th, we put the official publication in the Press Citizen, and we also directly solicited 8 different firms. July 20th was the due date for the submissions, and we received 3 submissions. Those 3 were the Office of the, I'm going to get this wrong, State Office of Archaeology, Bear Creek Archaeology, and Tallgrass Archaeology. We had asked for a price per site, and all 3 of the submissions gave us that. The price per site was pretty close between the State Office of Archaeology and Bear Creek. We also asked for a number of sites that they could do per year, and both State Office of the Archaeology and Bear Creek said unlimited, so we liked that. We had a scoring committee with 6 reviewers. The State Office scored 86, Bear Creek was close behind, and Tallgrass was 55 in comparison, and part of that was the pricing.
There's just so much more.
Yeah, and there could be any number of factors involved in that. Mm. We can move to the next slide. So we reviewed on 4 different areas. 20% of the review was on qualifications and experience, and they all pretty much scored the highest number on that. Time of performance was 2nd, and they all scored pretty closely on that. Number of surveys per year, the top 2 scored real close on that. And then cost was the final factor. One of our review team.
You get used to it after a while, John.
Oh, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
No, it's just the ambulances right away.
our one of the members of the review team had experience working with all 3 of the different firms, and he said that he had high confidence in all 3, so that was a good deal.
We've worked with all 3.
Okay.
And don't have any issues with anybody.
Good. and slide.
That's not true. I have issues with a lot of people.
Oh. Just none of these people.
None of, oh, yes.
Okay. So, very specific. Mm-hmm. This morning I received the draft final version of the contract and forwarded it to Mike and Donna and Jill and Ryan. They're still waiting for their final stamp of approval from through the university, but we suggested moving forward with contract negotiations with the State Office of Archaeology. So you guys have that now. I don't know what the holdup might be.
Well, we just have to have Ryan an opportunity to review the contract. This will be on the next formal agenda for actual selection of the low bid and approval of the contract. So today it's a discussion only.
Okay.
So we've done everything we need to do today.
All right.
No, it seems like you did your homework, and it looks like a pretty clear choice to me. But
yeah.
John, you do an excellent PowerPoint. Very beautiful and readable.
That's helpful because I attended a Watershed Academy workshop where, actually, no, I missed that part, but they forwarded the presentation for that. It was called Killing It with PowerPoint. I try to follow those directions.
As the kids say these
I've
days.
I've seen one that says Death by PowerPoint, and where every word that comes out of somebody's mouth is actually on the screen, which is you want a summary, and they actually try to put every word up on there, and it's unreadable in a font that's unreadable unless you're right close to it.
What you don't want is for the thing to come across like what your uncle did on his summer vacation in 1973.
Yeah. Not just
Bishop, that would have been me on summer vacation. I guess it would be my niece's uncle.
Does anybody have any other questions for John on this?
All right.
That's anything.
Thank you very much.
You're good. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Move forward and prosper. Next thing on the agenda is an update on the upcoming Planning, Development, and the Sustainability Network Department's office remodel and window project.
Hi.
Hey, Josh.
Hello. So did you just take a sledgehammer to the wall? Is that?
Not yet. No, we're actually going to, we're going to cut it out. Or dynamite. I haven't decided yet.
Some carefully placed C4.
Yes. Okay.
You could sell sledgehammer hits for a buck or something like that.
Yeah,
raise a little money for charity.
From the staff alone, it would be.
I think they're ready to be done with it already.
Yeah.
So Josh Bussard, Director of PDS. Here is our schedule. It's posted up here. We've already had the pre-construction meeting. So I guess the goal is right now, so I don't know if you guys, if we have a calendar here, sometimes it's just easier to look at that, but if we can look down here. So the goal is to be packed up on by the end of the day on Friday, August 17th. So that's, you know, books off shelves, offices packed, all your knickknacks, drawers empty, ready to move down to the Betty Sauce room. Possibly a storage up on third floor, and then we're going to take our computers and any valuable items, such as a safe, they'll be staying with us, over to the Betty Sauce or to MHDS. We have a series of offices already set up that we can use. The monitors there, we just need to bring our phones and our computer towers.
How's it going to break up, Josh, in terms of who's where?
So for that, we're going to have Nancy and Julia will be down in the Betty Sauce room. We'll have one or two inspectors down in the Betty Sauce room, and then we'll have our new planner, Luke, also down there to take questions.
And everybody else will
Everyone else will be there. We're not going to have any meetings with anybody from the public, or really anybody for that matter, even from the county. We went through the training with Susie on HIPAA and signed non-disclosure agreement. So anything we hear there that, you know, by accident we see a document, then we need to, we're aware of what we need to do. Be quiet about it, tell the appropriate people.
First rule
of
fight
club. And we'll have any meetings either. We'll find a place, you know, in the hallway or, I don't know. Well, it's gonna be 2 to 3 weeks. We'll have to figure it out. Wherever we have a spare meeting room, what we need, we'll just have to do that.
I bet you'll be in the fishbowl a lot.
Fishbowl, possibly, yeah. So, like I said, it's going to be, you know, where we can happen to find space. So, 17th, we'll be packed up. Our plan is to move everything on August 20th. And so between the 17th and August 20th, from the time where we disconnect our phones and our computers and move everything and reestablish, PDS is going to have to go dark. We're going to have to close the office, and then we intend to reopen as quickly as we can, as soon as we have telephone and at least one computer to be able to schedule inspections and go forward. So the inspectors, they're already mobile, so they have their laptops, so they can, if someone schedules like a footing inspection, we can go do that. And I really tried hard to keep the schedule open to make sure so they can help move, but as we become available, we can do that, we'll do that. So I'm not really sure how this is all going to shake out. It's just like, you know, when you move from your apartment in college, you just kind of woke up one day and moved and hope that your other place was available. So that's on the 21st. This is sort of going to be our day where any loose ends can be tied up. And also, David, one of our inspectors, he's going to be doing some electrical work. He'll be disconnecting some of the electricity to our current cubicle system. He's also going to be putting in one or two outlets into the wall. So, of course, he's a master electrician. He's done this quite a bit. And we have all the proper permits from the city of Iowa City. The bottom line is we need to be vacated the morning of August 22nd, because August 22nd, that's when they're going to mobilize and set up their equipment. The contractor may start earlier on some work on the outside. That might, you know, involve some, you know, on that Monday or Tuesday, involve some, you know, preliminary cutting or whatever they need to do in order to take out that piece of brick and before they cut into the drywall and then set in the window and its frame. I think it's also sort of important to point out that this timeline shifted from when Nate and I had made plans to go to ISAC. We have presentations too. So what we were told was like we'd be you know, on the tail end of this, we'd be good to like, all right, now we're going to be gone. No worries though. Neil, David, and Brett, they've done this quite a bit. I'm fairly confident that they can handle this small project, and they'll be there keeping an eye on the contractor. I've also communicated with IT and facilities. So IT, they'll be reestablishing the networks so we can go on Monday. Hopefully they can do that a little early. I'm not sure. So for instance, things happened today. Whatever, some server went down and they're all scrambling to fix that now. So it's going to be a process, but we'll get it done. I've worked with facilities. I've talked with Eldon. Sherry's back now, and she assures us that, don't worry, Josh, it'll be fine. Okay, that's all I can do. So, but other than that, we'll work to get reestablished as quickly as we can. This is the process. We have the Betty Sauce room reserved until, I believe, September 5th. If we need to go longer, we can. I'm not so naive to think this will actually be done on the 31st. I'm assured it will, but as we all know, every contractor will tell you that.
2 weeks.
Yes. 2 weeks.
Oh, plus.
We'll see how it goes.
So, yeah. So, but everybody's really happy. We're super excited about this remodel. You know, we've done some design work, which was, you know, actually a lot of fun on this window. Uh-huh. Use some skills we don't use very much. And I think the window is not only going to add to the current PDS office, but the whole building, that whole corner and hallway is just kind of dreary and dark, and it should add quite a bit more natural light to the area. So,
what about the green wall?
The green wall.
That greenish, bluish wall. Is that going to stay?
In the hallway? We got painters coming, so if you want it repainted, let me know.
It's a little interesting.
It'd be nothing for him to do it. So, but we're getting.
I don't have to look at it, so I don't care.
We're painting the same color, so, and that's just because if we decided to change colors, then you have to paint like three times, and the cost just increased exponentially. So, any questions, I guess. So that's where we're at. We'll get this done, and we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, and it's not really a question, but I think it looks like you have the ability to be flexible. If it isn't working out, you need somebody else down in Betty Sauce, then they could temporarily move down there.
It will be flexible.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, yeah, I think you're thought of
I've told the inspectors and Casey and Jeff we have lots of things that I need to go check out. You know, this would be a great time to do that. So we all have the ability to work fairly mobile. So
yeah, good time to work out of the office if you don't need.
And I've also asked people to schedule vacations now. So if you can be gone, you know, be gone, and just make it a little easier on everybody else. It's a good time to go. Any questions there? If not, I'd like to make another request.
Okay.
No questions? I think so.
If it's allowed.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Can we jump down real quickly to, I think, item number 6, processes, expectations, operation issues of the Board of Supervisors office? Okay. So, you know that we have our UDO update. Our first work session will be on Monday the 20th because of ISAC, so the dates have changed. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, you should be getting that memo here shortly. We just went to P&Z this week, got some feedback. But in September and October, we said that we're going to be talking about old zoning districts and then new zoning districts. So as we've been going through this update and writing the memo and putting things together, we find that it's easier to not so much discuss them as old versus new, but sort of by type. So like ag and residential and commercial and industrial zoning districts. So we're just going to change it up just a little bit. So don't be surprised if you have, new zoning districts, so like the small farm district or ag T or something like that in with the old. So it's just, that's what we told you originally, but we're just going to change it up. So, and I think this is going to be another one of these fluid processes. So,
well, I don't understand what you just said, so I don't see how it's going to be fluid. Like,
they're categorizing differently instead of old and new.
Right. We talked
lesser and greater, you might call it, or
we're going to our current zoning districts, so residential, AR, commercial, ML, MH. We're going to talk about those, the changes that we want, and then we're going to come to you with a proposal for some new zoning districts. So ag tourism, a less intense industrial heavy commercial district.
So are you getting rid of any like light industrial?
We're not going to like just get rid of them, because then the zoning map, it gets difficult. And you will have non-conforming uses. We're planning to close some, and then we're going to make changes to the others. So,
changes in terms of what it allows.
With what it allows and what the vision is, and along.
Would that be retroactive?
No, it can't.
You mean
it can't?
If you're going to make a
so when we make the change,
allow some other things.
Right.
Somebody's already got that zoning district.
Yes, it'll be. Yeah, they will be able to do that, and if.
But you can't go the other way.
If you go the other way, they're grandfathered in.
Yes.
If it's already established.
Yeah.
So let's say that, take rock crushing. So one of the is rock crushing is allowed or not allowed in the heavy industrial district? If you're rock crushing now and you keep up that operation, when we change the zoning, then you'd be a legal non-conforming use, and you'd have to, if you discontinued that for a certain time period, then you could no longer do that. But if you maintain that use, then you could continue doing that in perpetuity. If you owned ML and you weren't doing that, once the ordinance has changed, then you wouldn't be able to do that.
So you're bringing us the same information. It's just going to be compiled in a different way.
Differently, yeah. And okay. Organized some. So.
Hey, Josh, well, we're kind of off topic a little bit here on number 6. One thing that I noticed in the zoning meeting this month was that just the way, now that we're seeing that grid, just the matrix, the language in each one is a little confusing. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point it might not be a bad idea to for you to just sit down with your liaisons or just talk to all of us about what you're using language-wise and what your intent is, because I found myself confused a couple times.
Okay.
I can't even remember now what it all, like roads.
Well, yeah, so like paved roads, so it's like it's tiled paved roads.
Right.
So you might think that it needs to be on a paved road, but it's just adequate access.
My bad.
Yeah.
So like that. It was just a little confusing.
So would the board like to have, you could do a work session in the near future to...
I mean, how about you
talk about that?
Or do it with me or with us liaisons ahead of time. I'm a halfway decent copy editor.
I don't know that it needs a whole work session, but just to think it through a little bit.
Yeah, we can do that. So, all right. Anything else? All right.
Thank you.
Becky's up next. So
okay. Thank you. Item number 3 on the agenda is discuss potential input for State of Iowa, IDOT, Iowa DOT, draft bicycle and pedestrian long-range plan. Becky Soglin is with us, sustainability coordinator, director.
Just coordinator.
Hi,
not
Becky.
Just.
But yeah, not just.
Becky Soglin.
I gave you a title bump. How's that?
Cool.
Josh, did you hear that?
I heard that. Thanks for giving us time on the work session today. We learned at the end of July that the Iowa Department of Transportation has drafted what really is its first ever bicycle and pedestrian long-range plan, and they're soliciting input through the end of this month. So given the county's engagement on bicycle and pedestrian issues through the board's direct work as well as many of the departments, we thought it would be important to review this and suggest that perhaps you'd like to respond. That fits into part of our bicycle friendly business designation, that we engage on support, reviewing plans that might affect what we do. And obviously this is a statewide plan, so in terms of what the county might do, it's providing some guidance and then eventually maybe some opportunities. So you have before you, there's a memo that just kind of outlines what the plan does, and I'll just very briefly read their goal, just so it's clear. This is their plan, that it will their goal is to serve as the primary guide for Iowa DOT decision making regarding bicycle and pedestrian programs and facilities, such as sidewalks, trails, bike lanes, paved shoulders. It also has applicability for regional, county, and city plans and programs, helping to achieve a better level of statewide coordination and continuity for all levels of bicycle and pedestrian mobility. And in a very practical way, they outlined that the most critical content is the mainstreaming of safe bicycling and pedestrian accommodations. So it dovetails with things we've most recently put into our comprehensive plan about being interested in complete streets, and a reminder that that is not a specific outcome but a process. So what you do for complete streets in downtown Iowa City is not the same as what you might do in one of our developed unincorporated areas. The draft letter is included there in the packet, and so I mean, first and foremost is whether you would like to send the letter, and if so, any revisions to the letter. And I can do my best to answer any questions about the IDOT's plan, which is 190-some pages.
Is there an executive summary on that?
There is. And they did a very good job at I provided a link.
Yeah, there's a PowerPoint in our packet that's pretty comprehensive, I think.
So they
without being overwhelming.
I obviously think this is a good idea. This is fits well with what we do, what we're trying to do, with our trails and working with City of Iowa City, working with the businesses, working with our own campus. I mean, to push forward on alternative forms of transportation other than a single vehicle with one person in it. So,
my biggest concerns in these, especially in regards to bicycle and pedestrian safety and compatibility on these paths. As a cyclist who uses these paths an awful lot, it's funny, people who drive cars don't like cyclists, people who ride bikes have trouble with pedestrians and so on, but
they're always putting their thumb down on somebody, right?
Yeah, it's always the man
and the pedestrians. Was it dogs or
I guess
what?
Maybe it's the strollers, I'm not sure, but the two most dangerous things that I've seen are walkers walking pretty much anywhere on the path and not noticing, but more importantly, if they're walking with their earbuds in, they can't hear us ringing our bell or honking our horn or shouting at them or whatever as we come up behind them, and then they're terribly startled and perhaps even injured when we go by, even if we go by slowly. So I don't know if there's some way that they can be communicated on these on a lot of these trails to, you know, remind pedestrians it's a good idea to stay to the right. If you've got your earbuds in, stay way to the right. I don't know how to communicate that stuff, but I'd like to get that message out there.
We can just add a point. There's a mention here. They do discuss a lot about safety. I can go back to it and see if they say anything specific about pedestrian, bicyclist,
and I've seen
interaction,
some.
But I could add a sentence to this saying perhaps there could be more, something could be added to this plan to address specifically but pedestrian and bicycle interactions on paths.
Sure. I've seen some trails in some places that actually go to the trouble of putting lines down the middle and, you know, painted things on there telling people to stay right. And all. So, like, there's an expense to that, I guess. But
Linn County does that.
Yeah.
So I was in Boulder for 4 days, and around Boulder, their paths were marked, and they had three lanes. A pedestrian lane for pedestrians in both directions, and then two bike lanes, one for each direction. So a 10-foot lane was broken up into basically three-foot lanes. And so far left lane was people heading south, one way, the bike on the other, and the middle lane was for bikes heading the other direction, and then the far right lane, or if you're walking the other direction, might be on the left, would be for pedestrians in either direction, because it's much easier for them to stop and negotiate and look around if they run into other traffic. Sure. But I mean, I
acknowledge this would have some expense to it. I understand that, but but balance with the potential safety. And if you're out jogging with a stroller and got your earbuds in your ears, something bad could happen.
So, would you like a sentence added?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Something about that.
So,
worded however you like. Better than I did, please.
Well, and that could be, you addressed safety in here, so it could be added to that part.
Sure.
The safety.
Sure. I can add it to that paragraph. It's the fourth paragraph.
I know that we had seen some things from conservation wanting more signage on trails and on posts, that sort of signage, and mile markers and a few other things, and I actually think it's a pretty good idea. I mean, obviously there's cost involved in that, but there maybe some other people don't, but I know that there's a debate about signage on trails. Some people think it's not needed, or clutters the viewscape or some view shed or whatever.
The plan does address wayfinding, and Brad Friedhoff, I should have given credit to colleagues who did review the draft letter that included Brad Friedhoff, Kelly Andresen reviewed it, and so did Shaney in Public Health.
Brad was just talking about his grand 20-year scheme for last night at our joint meeting.
So wayfinding is generally addressed in there. And then what specifically happens in an area. IDOT is not dictating then what we do. A lot of this is guidance. I think importantly for us, they will be glad to see that we have it in our comp plan. And obviously our secondary roads and conservation departments have already done a lot of work in this area. So there actually will be modified bridge design guidance.
Nice. Fantastic. No, I think if Kurt wants to help with a paragraph or something, you know, and
I'd be happy to, but I'm sure she's got it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to draft something quickly, send it to you. We have a little bit of time here to get it submitted, but though obviously with our office move, we are just trying to get this done.
Before the move, so yeah.
So,
I'm happy with it.
So anything else? Mm-hmm. Well, thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
And Mike, well then, have this for you to sign.
Okay.
It's finalized.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks, Becky. Thanks, Josh. Next on the agenda, discuss strategic plan priorities of crisis intervention, local foods, historic poor farm, poverty issues, and other strategic planning goals. Let's start off in order, I guess. Crisis intervention.
Just a little short thing. Matt Miller has created several subcommittees that will be meeting. You know, there's like the rules committee that they're working in coordination with the rules as they're published at the state level on House File 2456 to make sure that, you know, we can fit into that framework. And there will be like a design committee. What are some of the others? staffing kind of patterns and
Design of the building committee. Operational.
Because assuming that, you know, during this due diligence period, when we've got the engineers out there, assuming things go well in the way that we like, then we need to just, bam, get things into place and start really working and moving forward. So that's where we are. Things are happening.
Excellent. Very good. Anything else on the BHUC, crisis intervention?
Well, one thing that's still a bit of a sticky wicket, did they have that meeting? It's right now, right, with North Liberty?
They meet on Tuesdays. Oh, you mean privately?
Yeah, I think it's today, that because it was, we had this.
Right. And,
there is a small group of people going to meet with North Liberty, which obviously has had been kind of back and forth in terms of a commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think that our attitude has been all along, it's like, well, obviously we want you to help, that's part of the deal, but if you don't, we're not, it's not like we're going to put off the whole thing. But this is an opportunity to once again kind of remind them why they agreed in the first place. So I can't remember who the whole congregation is. Contingent going.
It was Matt Miller, Lance Clemson, Ron Berg and Diane Brecht.
A couple of the providers, mm-hmm. A couple of the university people. So we'll see.
I suspect we'll hear something this afternoon from one of them.
Well, they'll at least report back how it went, yeah. obviously, with budgets coming up, we'd like North Liberty to put something in their budget. But.
Right, and one thing that occurred to me, and I didn't get to Matt in time for it, was when Jen Shaw gave her report the other day, and there was a slide about, or maybe it wasn't Jen, but I have a note to myself, on mobile crisis, and I think that there was a slide that we saw recently. So
with the number of calls that they had there, yeah.
That right there kind of goes back to what North Liberty said early on. Oh, well, we don't know why you come up with these numbers, and that was kind of clear from the beginning. They just didn't. They kind of shook, basically, and that alone justifies and explains the ask.
The North Liberty numbers were just a little bit behind the Coralville numbers, mm-hmm. but they were very similar.
Right, which makes sense because catching up and
population-wise,
surpassing as we speak, basically.
I mean, you would expect, I suppose, Coralville to be a little higher just because of
dense
hotels and I-80 and the mall.
And the strip.
Stuff like that. But North Liberty was just like 9 calls behind Coralville.
Right.
It was in Jan Shaw's report.
So are they there right now, or was I thought it was tomorrow.
I think it's right. I think it was at 9 o'clock today.
Darn. Yeah. So it's too late for me to tell them about that slide.
I hope that they get back on board with a commitment of that's financial, and because this is a troubling trend that I'm seeing with North Liberty. You know, Crandic. A study for the last two phases, not, you know, they said, okay, the first Crandic second phase says, yeah, we're just going to take it up to Forever Green Road. And then we said, okay, well, we understand your hesitancy there that you should take it up at least to Penn Street or something like this. And so we've tried to work on that. And then they still refuse to make a financial commitment.
It becomes kind of easy if you know that the other folks are just going to pick up your share. If you don't do it, it becomes mm-hmm. easy to
say no,
fall into that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't want us in Coralville and Iowa City to have to pick up their share, because, you know, as the saying goes, many hands make for light work. Well, it's when somebody takes their hands off of that light work, and then it's a heavier lift for everybody else. And I just wish and I hope in the future that North Liberty, when they make a commitment to a project, follows through with finances as well.
So. And their police chief is fully on board with the idea behind the Access Center, the need for it. She certainly knows that it is utilized by them. So I think that
she's had all her people trained.
Right. And I think that once we're up and running, and she's been kind of given a little push from one end, and the Southern Advisory Committee to the 6th Judicial District has also kind of been given a little bit of a push from another end. And I think that eventually, once we're up and running, I feel like there might be some kind of eye-opening happening and going, oh, aha, this is what they were talking about. And perhaps then we can, I mean, it'll be too late for the capital cost, but we'll have ongoing stuff always. And so
there'll come a point they'll see the train leaving the station.
We will never say no if they would like to make a contribution.
If you want to contribute to the capital cost 2 years later, we'll still take it.
Absolutely. So if you're listening, North Liberty,
get on board.
We will take your money, even if you come late to the game.
Yeah, okay. Moving on in strategic planning areas, local foods. Tomorrow night,
Farm to Street dinner. Do your no rain dance.
Yes. What does the forecast look like?
Rain.
Yeah. And if there is rain, it'll be held in the Chauncey Swan parking ramp. But
underneath, oh, is that the Chauncey Swan?
Yeah, I think it's in the Swan. Anyway.
The blue one where the farmer's market is?
Yeah, where the farmer's market is.
Yeah. That could be a little dank down there.
Yeah, but it beats that's not doing it or getting soaked. Yeah. So.
I think you could make it look festive if you had to go down there.
You can. I mean, think about the decor that they use out on the street. Just string the same stuff up. It'll be kind of cool.
The lights and stuff. I'm going. Well,
I'll be there. I'm actually.
Sorry.
I'm actually gone the first 2 years. It's been a
tuitions. I can't just invite to speak at this one.
I'm not involved in any way for a change, which is kind of nice. But I'm supposed to speak there. Let's see. Poor Farm. Vanessa had what I think is probably a very successful stakeholders gathering out on the Poor Farm last week. I went out and attended for the tour portion of it and then had to go to a different thing. And then she had, I think there was 24 or so folks that showed up.
Yeah.
And then after the tour, they went across the street and used the conference room at Secondary Roads and, you know, did some brainstorming and heard from them. I haven't heard the results of that, but I'm sure it was positive. There was a wide swath of stakeholders there. Becky Reedus was there. Raphael from CWJ was there. Health Department was there, for example. Yeah. Bunch of other people. I think it was probably, and you know, we'll hear what the results of it were at Vanessa's next thing with us in a week or two.
Well, I think that's fantastic because when we started doing the planning for the Poor Farm to put together the plan, we reached out and talked to those stakeholders.
Yep.
And I think it's important to get their input as we're moving
forward.
As we're
moving into the implementation stage.
Yeah, we don't want to talk to them 5 years later and say, well, we talked to you before it happened. Now here's what we do. What do you think of it?
Yeah, and there were a lot of questions. A lot of the people there knew it, knew at least parts of the plan that they were already interested in and wanted to know about how that was going or how are you going to do this? Where's the farm incubator going to go? You were talking about housing. Is this the pollinator meadow? And, you know, a lot of really good questions.
Yeah. Fantastic. No, I did stream the on my vacation last week, and actually when I was at the solar conference, I had an earbud in, and I was listening to the work session. The part that I was really interested in was the farm cycle portion of it that goes to the Poor Farm, and looks like we've moved forward there. Is that correct?
We have, correct.
Yeah, and so I'm very excited about that, and I'm either going to ride it or buy a ticket and go, or unless we need, I'll have to figure out with Vanessa and Audrey what role they would like the supervisors to play in that.
Right, and that's September 16th, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's also Mexican Independence Day. We should have some tacos out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they've selected. There's going to be two chefs at the Poor Farm, but I don't think they've selected which two it's going to be yet.
That runs
10 to 3.
Interesting. You would, I think if you asked a lot of people what Cinco de Mayo was, they would tell you that it was
they
Mexican.
They all think it's Mexican.
But it's not.
Not informed.
Well, they must be voters then.
Just celebrating defeating the French, and how hard is that?
Yeah. There's a political statement there. moving on, other strategic planning areas. We kind of covered anything else on local foods at Poor Farm. I'm keep losing my spot.
Was there
here.
Something about the Poverty Summit happened yeah. last week? Or
yeah, we had a meeting. It's really it's a little challenging. You know, what our goal was originally was get somebody here who would have a little bit of gravitas, make a little bit of a splash, speak to the folks who would be gathered to tackle these issues, and give them a little bit of, you know, pump up, and then let the folks in the room do, you know, break up and kind of do what they have to do. The challenge that we're running into is finding a person who is appropriately knowledgeable and available and affordable.
That's the combination.
The combination of those three is difficult. Some of the people that we've all heard of are $25,000.
Right.
You know, we're
I was hoping for William Barber. It's a little out of our league. Yeah.
We're now one thing that Janelle's been pursuing that is a potential interesting twist is Julian Castro.
I was going to ask if his name came up.
Is the former, you know, head of HUD, and mayor of San Antonio, very knowledgeable in all these areas, and has a lot of reasons to want to come to Iowa.
Just like a lot of.
In fact,
people.
He's coming this weekend.
Weekend he'll be in Iowa City.
And so that is a very real possibility, and he actually is a person with the appropriate expertise to do it. The question is, would people see that as like a little too political?
Not yet.
But right now, that's perhaps our most encouraging option. There are some like lower level people. I think it's safe to say none of us have ever heard of them. They're probably good at what they do, but Lynette and Lori are just having a very hard time finding anybody.
Along similar lines, I was reached out to by Jeff Merkley, and who is also coming to Iowa for similar reasons, and he is a senator from Washington
or
Oregon. And so he's making a lot of trips, and he's in Des Moines this weekend as well. But he's looking for a reason to come to Iowa City.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
And so I've got... But I'm not sure what committees, and he's obviously not quite as qualified as somebody like this, but there's other people, but he would be would be a great thing.
So
the other option is that I was thinking is that, you know, what if we just got somebody from Cedar Rapids or Linn County or the Quad Cities, if somebody's doing some good work in one of the surrounding areas, and they don't have to be a name.
We talked about that. Yeah. We talked about we don't even necessarily maybe need to do that at all. Yeah. I mean, we didn't do it with the hunger task force, which is kind of what we're modeling this after. You know, there was no big kickoff.
Yeah.
We just did it.
Well, because everybody knows there's a problem.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to necessarily have someone come and tell you something you already know.
Right. So I mean, part of the, you know, we were looking actually at kind of two, kind of a double thing. I mean, one, the person would kind of kick off stuff with the people in the room who are going to be working on it, but then also hopefully that person would do some kind of public event before or after that where the public could show up at like the Iowa City Library or something and have them explain to the public why the county's even looking at this, you know. So we're still working on that. It's still a work in progress, and probably if we get to a certain point, we may just punt and say we're just going to do it without the the speaker. The pro to that, obviously, is I think, Mike, what did we, we've been kind of looking at around $5,000 for bringing somebody in. And
The original amount thrown out was the $5,000 for the speaker.
And
that,
so
that was based on not much knowledge.
Yeah, that was kind of just a, we're guessing. But we've also said, well, you know, maybe we just save that $5,000 and put the $5,000 into the work of the group or whatever. So
there's a lot to be said for that.
So that's kind of where we're at. Unfortunately, it's about where we were at the last time we reported. But yeah, so we are talking about the idea of if you do stuff, and we're looking at this kind of time frame now anyway, but November's a time when people really do kind of turn their, start to tune in a little bit to the giving and thinking about the need of others and stuff like that. So it's not a terrible time to kick that off.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving and then the holidays.
Yeah.
It is a good time. But we'll be starting up budget around that time too, so can things get, you know, and actually that's not a bad thing. They start thinking about poverty issues while you're starting to formulate your next year's budget. So, thank you.
Mike, do you think that covered everything?
Yes.
Okay.
The most succinct comment was, we're not much further than we were.
We're treading water. At least we're not saying.
Well, we got a good 10-minute conversation out of doing nothing yet so far,
Okay. Anything else on strategic planning priorities?
Okay. Can I ask a bigger question? What's the long-term plan for us to talk about sort of wrapping up the plan we've got and talking about how we're going to do this in the future?
Funny,
I know you guys
have
gone to that training. And
I really want to see it put to use and well presented to the rest of y'all, but
we mean talk about the next strategic plan.
Yeah, just kind of what's the time frame we're looking
reference
at?
Was to strategic doing.
We've been starting some preliminary discussions about that process so that when we're ready to start it, we actually have some of the legwork done, so we're not starting from scratch. So we're talking about some structural issues and some idea issues to not start from zero, but start from a place of knowledge, and so we can move really forward. And that's, some of the stuff is already preloaded, so it's more of a sorting rather than a creating.
Okay.
We're just trying to make it a real thoughtful process, and so we're working with the vice chair, since she'll be chair next year, and we'll be shepherding that process.
Okay.
But so this will be next calendar year after the budget's
kind of done. After budget, then we'll start talking about it.
Okay. Since the last year, I mean, we went from budget right in to real heavy into comp plan and a few other things.
I just thought it was important also to have some of these discussions, at least informally, during budget time, because of course the budget is where you put your priorities.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to have a cart after the horse kind of thing.
Sure, that's the old saying.
Cart before the horse.
The old saying is you can tell me what you value, but show me your budget and I'll tell you what you value. So. Excellent.
Well, along those lines, we think you will like what we've come up with so far.
Well, it sounds like it's a running start instead of going from zero, and I like that too. Very good. Thanks for that question, Rod. Let's move out of strategic planning then. Discuss any state, federal, local issues, Urban County Coalition, pending legislation affecting Johnson County, and representation of county and supervisor positions. Megan, is she out on maternity leave now?
She's on maternity leave. Right now we're waiting to hear back from our Larry and Gary about when, because we sent dates when we'd prefer for them to come and do a wrap-up.
With us.
But we haven't heard back yet. And we sent the dates of availability for September, October for the UCC face-to-face, and haven't heard back on that.
Okay.
Is that also when our, maybe you just said this, our local delegation will also come in, or no? I mean, are we going to have them overlap or separate?
Yeah, there's different things.
Yeah.
I know, but I get that they're different, but they're also...
when we do the meeting with the local delegation, if you guys want, that actually makes sense to me to make sure that the UCC consultants are at that meeting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because...
Yes.
They've done that before.
Because.
Yeah. I think to double whammy it would be good. And wrap up and then maybe talk about other things. But obviously the election in November is going to be so critical as to what happens. And we pretty much know what happened last year and the last 2 years. We got zilch and we ate a bag of whatever on a regular basis. And so there's nothing that they really need to tell us to wrap up. At least our legislative delegation. I think moving forward is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do and what we're thinking about, and then having a couple different scenarios. what happens if we take everything back? What happens if if the Dems take, say, partial control?
If anything like that happens, we ought to meet with them again after the election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there should be a couple, two or three different scenarios just moving forward. Partial control, total control, no control.
Well, yeah, like, because for example, if you just can win the governorship, some of the stuff that we don't like was done by executive order.
Yes.
It could be undone by executive order.
Correct.
And so what is that?
Medicaid privatization.
Privatization.
making that list. Because that's the stuff to focus on, because if you don't quite get the House and Senate, they're not going to help.
Oh, the Senate's going to take a miracle.
So, and then vetoes, it's just the governor. What I've seen happen as a lobbyist is when there was split control, a lot of things got done.
Yeah, it was not bad.
A lot of things got done when, the Senate was controlled by the Dems and the House was controlled by the R's. They worked together to get things done. They moved forward. They realized that they weren't going to get everything they wanted, and both sides did. And a lot of times the best deal for the public is someplace in the middle anyway. So, very good. Well, we'll keep waiting to hear from them. Anything else on legislative or policy? Okay. Discuss internal processes, expectations, and operational issues of the Board of Supervisors.
Just two things. I'm meeting with some people, try to do things a little bit differently in the upcoming budget cycle, particularly relative to the historic poor farm and to the proposed BHUC, because we established Department 26 for the Access Center BHUC, and then the Department 25 for the poor farm. But there's, in the past, there's always been just like chunks of money. And I'm going to try to work with Dana and the people, the liaisons for that, of having specific line items so that the board could pre-approve some of these expenditures so we just don't operate from a big chunk, and instead some of these things are pre-approved so they don't have to be rediscussed.
Don't have to come to us over and over again for each little...
But those are only the things you can identify, but because these are new projects, you're kind of... shooting in the dark.
Some of it's
you don't
gonna
know
be,
what's going to come up.
It's going to be looking forward, but there's some line items we absolutely can anticipate.
Yeah.
And we can make some rational estimates of what the cost will be. We're just trying to put a little more thought and control into some of these issues and to minimize...
coming to the board for every decision.
For everything.
Mm-hmm. I like
this
that.
Way, through the budget process, you'll pre-approve a bunch of these things.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Could we go over next week's calendar?
Yeah. Could we start on Friday?
So, Monday, August 20th at 9 o'clock is the work session.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday, August 21st at 9 o'clock is the formal and informal.
Mm-hmm.
At 1 o'clock is the elected official department head meeting. I don't have it on this old version, but I'm 100% positive that at 3 o'clock we have another one-item formal meeting for an item for secondary roads that couldn't wait.
Oh, I remember something.
I have that.
Conservation secondary roads. Yeah, or it's just.
Oh, I thought
it's the bid opening for that
Cedar Crossing
thing.
Wetlands.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought we were going to do that like right at the start of the meeting at 1.
The bid letting got moved to 2 p.m. So they need a little time.
Okay,
so we're doing it after.
So
instead.
I may have to leave the department head meeting early.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Are we gonna have enough people there?
I can stick. I'm at least one. I can stick.
I will
be
there.
I'll be at the department.
Are we going to be voting on anything?
Yeah,
we got to vote on the bid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Approving the bid.
You're accepting them, right?
Well, if they're just receiving it.
We just accept the little bit.
No, I think it's to
Accept select a little better and approve that a little bit.
Approve it.
Yeah. So they can move forward, yes.
Yes. Because I think the way the public notice was, it has to be that day.
Because otherwise it wouldn't have to be a formal.
Correct. So.
Right.
No, correct, yes.
Okay. So special formal.
Okay, well, just so long as Tuesday everybody else can be there then.
And then ISAC is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
And who I'm going and Kurt's going?
I'm going.
Anybody else? Kim wants to carpool.
Travis
you know
is
if
going.
I have a car?
You have a car Tuesday through Friday.
Tuesday.
So she was going to
end of the
date.
You. End of the day, I was going to pick it
Tuesday
up.
Tuesday at 2 through Friday at 5.
Yeah. I'll get back with her then. I wasn't planning on leaving until Wednesday morning. So there was some event that she wanted to go to, a meeting or a dinner or something, and I said, well, I wasn't. She says, you have a car on Tuesday, and I said, well, I think it was to, so I could take home and leave at 6 a.m.
Yeah, okay.
From home.
I wasn't sure of your plan.
No.
All other cars are out, yeah. Except the van, so. Yeah.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah. Travis is also going, Josh is going.
Yeah, so carpooling is what we want to do if we can, and I will, the answer is yes to Kim. Anything else on internal processes? Anything else? Anybody else have anything? Okay, other? Seeing none, we'll move on to a discussion from the public. Seeing none, pre-evaluation goal setting, possible closed session pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5, 1I, to evaluate the professional competency of individuals whose appointment and hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered. And then that's the social service director and the transportation and fleet director.
I will move a closed session according to Iowa Code Section 21.51I.
Second.
We have a motion by Freeze, second by Green Douglas. Any discussion? Roll call.
Did you turn off the encoder?
We need a roll call.
It just went offline.
Oh, no, I didn't touch anything.
Mine went offline too.
So it just happened to go offline right about when we needed it to.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird.
You're fine to continue. Sorry.
Yeah, we just need a roll call to go into
closed
session.
Oh, I apologize.
No, that's no problem.
Freeze.
Aye.
Carberry.
Aye.
Green Douglas.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Motion carries. We're into executive session.
Did you have an email from this morning, maybe about 9:12, I think it was?